Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report right here on the Big X Sports Radio. We do this each weekday, 11 a.m. You can catch us live. The replay most days at 3 p.m. if we don't have baseball or some other special programming. And, of course, we're always available as a podcast on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast as well. A lot of ways to catch up with us. The latest in IU and Southern Indiana sports news each day here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Let's take a look at the guest lineup for this Friday show, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In segment one, I'll run through a number of Hoosier headlines today. We'll talk about Silver Creek baseball playing in the semi-state round tomorrow in Mooresville, a game that we'll carry live right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Also, IU baseball, we mentioned yesterday when Lee Kelly was with me, a number of players getting drafted by major league teams. I'll talk a little bit more about that today as well. Silver Creek, their basketball team, is in the middle of some summer league action, but they are already getting some invites and opportunities with Trey Kaufman and some other key players on that team to play in some special high school basketball events for the next season. I'll update you on that as well. And, of course, we've got the Indiana Kentucky All-Star Series tonight. Big game between the senior teams, the girls game at 6, the boys game to follow. It's all local tonight just across the river at Bellarmine. Plenty of tickets available, KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. Again, KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. You can get on there still today, buy tickets online, and plenty of seats and good seats available for the game tonight at Bellarmine if you want to take the family over to that. So that will be fun, and we'll talk about that coming up here in just a bit as well. Later in the program, segment two, I'll be joined by Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Jared and I will talk more about IU basketball's schedule for next season. We'll talk about the addition that was announced yesterday before we came on the air of a matchup against Florida State for this team in the Big Ten ACC Challenge that's on the schedule for next season. And with everything that's out there between the Big Ten matchups, which have been out there for a while with no dates, and between games that are holdovers from last year that are reoccurring contracts, some other special games that have been announced, we're not too far away from being able to piece together at least the major games on IU's schedule. We know what the conference side of things looks like as well. So we'll talk some of that with him when he joins us a little bit later in the program. And we'll wrap up today with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle and I will get you all set for the Indiana-Kentucky game tonight and the second game of the series to wrap things up for what's been a week-long process for most of these kids on Saturday evening in Indianapolis. So Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, he will join us later in the show today. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at baseball semi-state action tomorrow here on the Big X Sports Radio. We will be at Mooresville High School for the Class 3A game. Silver Creek, 23-6. We'll take on Edgewood, 23-3. The game is scheduled to start at 1 p.m. Eastern time, so that is the first game of the day at Mooresville. Following that game, you'll have Columbus East against Avon. That's a 4A South semi-state. The winner of both of those games moves on in their respective classes to a one-game state championship the next week. Silver Creek, we know, a lot of experience on that team from last year, a lot of returning players on that team from last year. There are some seniors that really, if you look at their athletic careers, not just in baseball at Silver Creek, but have done some amazing things. And we'll see if Silver Creek can push the limit once again and find a way to win another postseason championship, a one-game semi-state tomorrow for the Dragons. Everything I've been told about Edgewood lists them as a very formidable opponent. They've got a player on their team as well, like Silver Creek and Holden Grower, that is committed to IU. They also have the pitcher, the starting pitcher tomorrow, is expected to be just fabulous. One of the great prospects, I believe just a sophomore that is getting a start or expected to get the start in semi-state play tomorrow. So I think Silver Creek knows, and I think Edgewood knows, that both teams are solid. Both teams will bring some of their very best, maybe a pitching that they've both seen all season long. And that's the way it should be when you advance this far into the tournament. But a big matchup coming tomorrow. If you can't make the trip to Mooresville, it's about a two-plus hour drive. We'll have the pitch-by-pitch coverage live right here on the Big X Sports Radio, thanks to a number of special sponsors once again stepping up this week, making our coverage of high school baseball possible here on the Big X Sports Radio. So we're looking forward to that. Going to be a fun day tomorrow. Little baseball in the afternoon. We'll see if Silver Creek can get back to the state finals. On the northern side of things, if you're thinking ahead, at Kokomo, Yorktown 18-14, they take on Andrean, who is 34-1 in the northern semi-state. So if Silver Creek can win tomorrow, it's very, very, very likely that it would be a rematch with Andrean. A lot of work cut out tomorrow for the Dragons to even be able to think about a return trip to the state finals, but Andrean 34-1 as they enter the northern semi-state on Saturday. They are just a dominant program, have some unbelievable pitching and some college prospects on that team. Going to be very tough for whoever gets there, Silver Creek or Edgewood, to knock off Andrean. And again, Andrean taking on a Yorktown team that is 18-14 and has really played well in the tournament later in the season to find some success getting to that level. Also, a baseball note, yesterday we talked some about IU baseball with 10 players selected by major league teams earlier this week in the Major League Baseball draft. That's really an astounding number. It's the most that Indiana has ever had. And I saw a kind of a breakdown by school of where some of these players are coming from. 13 was the most picks that a college had in the 2019 MLB draft. Two schools with 13 players apiece to get drafted, UCLA and Vanderbilt. Really no surprise, both of those programs each year produce a lot of pros and are at the top of the college baseball game in many ways. Next on the list with 11, one school, and that was Mississippi State. They placed 11 players to be drafted by major league teams in the MLB draft. After that, Indiana, one of two schools, along with UC Santa Barbara, to place 10 players in the draft as draft picks this past week in the MLB draft. So Indiana, kind of the school out of UCLA, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and UC Santa Barbara that really maybe doesn't typically fit that mold of a school that, I mean, Indiana has produced plenty of picks, don't get me wrong, but to produce that many of picks for Major League Baseball's draft this year is quite remarkable. There were three schools with 9 picks apiece. There were, 7 schools with 8 picks apiece. Louisville was one of those schools with 8 selections in the draft. But that's got to be a good recruiting tool for Coach Mercer as he goes out and about to spread the word about IU baseball program and the track that this program has been on and the success that they've had over the last decade is really impressive. And it's come under 3 different coaches. Coach Mercer obviously is the most recent of those coaches to find success at Indiana. And I'm sure a lot of that is interconnected and interwoven between each other, the success that each coach has found before moving on someplace else. But nonetheless, I've got to believe that having 10 picks in the draft is a great selling point when you talk with prospects, when you talk with their parents. And again, the thing about baseball that is amazing, and we always talk about the differences in recruiting between college basketball, college football, we should also remember baseball as well. It's a young game. People are recruited very, very young. It's not uncommon to see freshmen and sophomores that have already committed and at least verbally made their college decision. So Indiana, with, I would think, a good selling point heading into the offseason with 10 picks in the 2019 Major League Baseball draft. Also tonight at Bellarmine, you've got the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series. The girls' game slated to start at 6 o'clock. The boys' game to follow after that. And again, at Bellarmine, great place to take in a game. Plenty of tickets available, although I would expect a good walk-up crowd tonight for this annual rivalry series between the two states. The number of players, and this is not just this year, but the number of players in this game from both states that have committed to Division I programs is really just staggering. And I'm talking about boys and girls players. And it's nothing new. I think if you look at things per capita, I used to have the numbers. Indiana way up there when it comes to the amount of Division I players, in especially in boys basketball, that come out of the state and go on to play at the highest level in college basketball, the D1 level. Kentucky this year, a number of players that are signed, committed to college programs. Of those players playing college, a number of them playing Division I basketball as well. Should be some great player matchups tonight between some of the players that you might be interested in watching. Kentucky has some size, which, as you heard Coach Talk, the game director from Kentucky, say earlier this week, that's not something that their all-star team has normally been blessed with in recent years. And also Indiana, of course, with two IU recruits and Trace Jackson Davis and Armon Franklin. Lots of other talent on that team as well, some going to Purdue, some going other places. But should be a really good series. I think it's a series Indiana can sweep, but I also would not be surprised if Kentucky presents some major challenges to Indiana as well. I would be surprised if it's not competitive, even if Indiana does win both games. I would be surprised if it's not a very, very competitive series as far as the scores of those games. And I understand, don't know as much about the girls' side, especially some of the players from the state of Kentucky, but I understand that they're really proud with their team as well and think that they can be very competitive and perhaps, you know, win some games on that side of things as well. So two good games tonight. Again, tickets still available, KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. You can go on and buy whatever you need. Check in with them at the door tonight on your mobile phone using the Eventbrite service. But if you don't have anything planned, should be what you're doing tonight. Will be a lot of fun, some high school basketball in the summer, and you're going to see nothing but top-level players from both states. And I know all-star games, a lot of time you think, why do I want to go pay 10, 15, 20 bucks to see an all-star game when I might see some dunks? That's always fun. But it's going to be one-on-one. It's going to be not sharing the ball. There's not going to be any defense played. There's going to be 100-and-something points scored by each team, and there's really no care in who wins the game. Those are all true with the majority of All-Star games, except the Indiana-Kentucky series. To me, it's one where there's so much pride for both teams and for both states that there's defense, and these teams have practiced throughout the week. And a lot of these kids, especially on the Indiana side, I know, have played together before in different situations. So they come in to the week, the All-Star week, knowing each other, knowing what each person can bring to the table, maybe what some of the weaknesses are as well. But this is a game where the coaches are going to be up coaching hard, the players are going to be playing hard, the defense is going to be good, at least you hope it is, especially down the stretch. And the coaches, no matter what reputation a player has from his respective high school or where he's going to college, committed to sign, play college basketball, they're ultimately going to go down the stretch with the guys that they think can win them this game, that are playing with the best effort and willing to play on the defensive side of the floor as well. So that's what I like about the Indiana-Kentucky game, other than being a great showcase in the summer before the players get sent off to their respective colleges and universities. It's just a series that means something because of the history, because of how recognized the two states are with their college programs and with the number of recruits that come out of the states each year, and because they play hard, and this is just not your normal highlight showcase of an All-Star game. So make sure you check it out at Bellarmine tonight. Southern Indiana fans treated to a really easy opportunity to be part of this great series. You just got to go about 10, 15 minutes across the river, and you're good to go with the All-Star game. Instead of a trip to Indianapolis, it's going to take you a lot farther to get there on Saturday night. So take advantage of the Bellarmine opportunity. KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. You can find tickets there, and see you at the game tonight. That's a look at the headlines for this Friday edition of the program. We will head to a commercial break. When we come back, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is my guest. We're going to talk IU basketball, the schedule for next season, the Big Ten ACC Challenge game between IU and Florida State that was announced yesterday. We'll talk a little bit more about that contest and some other notes as well. So stay with us. IU basketball, the topic next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Friday program. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, always my guest in this segment on Fridays. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Highway 311 in Sellersburg is temporarily closed, but Coffee Crossing Sellersburg is still open and brewing great coffee daily. Jared, we now know one more small piece to the schedule. It's an ACC Big Ten Challenge matchup. IU at home will take on Florida State. I talked about the game and the matchup generally yesterday with Alex Bozich when he was with us on Thursday. But I've heard some people say this. Is IU not taking on North Carolina, not taking on Duke, not taking on maybe a top-tier ACC? Did you take that as a slap in the face at all? Or are you relieved, kind of as I was, that it's an opponent IU can play at home and will have a chance to get a win over in a game that's really big for resume building for the postseason?
I don't mean for this to be a cop-out answer, but I think both. You know, I think the matchup against Florida State is a really interesting one because Florida State has been really good. You know, they've been, you know, obviously they were a really good team last year. They've been a top 25 level team the last 2 years under Leonard Hamilton. So they've actually been better and much more consistent than what Indiana has been the last few years, you know, despite, you know, kind of the reputations of the two schools. So I think it's going to be a good matchup for this Indiana team. And, you know, it's a winnable one, but certainly one that's going to be a challenge. You know, whereas you look at that game at Duke last year, and Indiana never really had a chance in that game. So there's a part of me that likes the fact that, you know, in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, instead of facing a team that's going to be a lot higher ranked, you know, more highly regarded, where you're kind of looking to pull an upset, you kind of go into it feeling like, okay, you know, this is a pretty evenly matched game. Let's go win it, get a solid victory for the resume. But on the other hand, you know, it is a little disappointing to not be in one of the high-profile matchups. But I think that's just something that, you know, the program just needs to work its way back up to where, you know, when they schedule these matchups, if Indiana's matched up against Duke or North Carolina or Virginia or whoever it is, you go into it feeling, all right, you know, you play your best, we'll play our best, let's give it a shot and we'll have a chance to win. And that hasn't really been how it's felt the last couple of years. So, you know, I kind of feel both ways. I like it for this season, but I hope as we move forward that we get back to being in those marquee ACC Big Ten Challenge matchups and feeling like we go into them having a good chance to win.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call presented by Coffee Crossing. Far as the schedule goes for next year, we know some of the big non-conference matchups. Do you expect any other big ones, you know, key matchups, maybe rivalry-type games, any sort of early season games that will really be of interest to fans, or do you think a lot of the remaining games still to be found out are going to be primarily filler games with lesser level opponents?
Sorry about that. I'm outside and a couple of large trucks just drove by me.
No problem.
It seems like that's probably the end of the big games. Cause you look at it now, you've got the Florida State game, the Arkansas game, the game in the Crossroads Classic against Notre Dame, and then I think and then the Connecticut game. So, you know, no huge headliners there, but a bunch of, you know, solid matchups that, you know, give you an opportunity for some good quality wins. You know, and I think based on how the NCAA tournament was selected last year, where it really looked like kind of your raw one-loss record was, you know, really what was looked at, especially quantity of losses, I think for where this program is, I think that's fine. You know, now, I hope that, you know, the rest of the schedule isn't filled in with just 300 level filler. You know, I hope we, you know, we face some good teams that, you know, when you look in the KenPom rankings are there, you know, between the 125 and 200 level, you know, the kind of teams where if you don't bring a good effort and you don't play well, they can beat you. So that's kind of what I would expect. I don't, you know, look, if, you know, if you want to throw the, you know, the Kentucky game back on the schedule or a big fun rivalry game like that, fine. I would love to see that. But I don't think that this program necessarily needs that right now, given what they already have on the schedule, you know, kind of given where they are. And so I'd be surprised if we see anything else like that get added to the schedule.
Talking to Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, you know, I'm just amazed, you know, when a high school season begins or a youth basketball season begins, if you've got a kid playing basketball, you think, okay, you know, these early season games or early season tournaments are just a chance to get primed and ready for the finish to the year where you want to be really strong going into the postseason and that sort of thing. But I'm just amazed now with college basketball, with every game that's added to any high-level team's schedule, whenever you find out a matchup, whenever you're trying to piece the puzzle together to know exactly what the 2019-2020 schedule looks like, both in and out of the conference. But those early season games, there's no breather with every game that's added. You already think, even at this point in June, well, how could that affect the NCAA tournament resume of IU or of whatever team you're following? It's just amazing that out of the gate immediately, who you play, how you play them, if you win or lose, even early on, can still come back to help or haunt you later in the season if you're a bubble team or close to finding yourself in the NCAA big dance.
It really is, you know, and I don't know that there's a better way to do it, because I think overall that's actually a pretty fair way to do it. You know, but you look at it, look at Tom Crean's last team, you know, where Indiana goes out at the beginning of that season, beats Kansas, beats North Carolina. You have these two massive wins, but that team in February was massively different from the team that they were in November. Now, you know, those wins still counted and anchored, you know, an NCAA tournament resume that you kind of felt like you had a chance even there at the end when the wheels were falling off. But that's, you know, that's just how they've chosen to do it. And I don't, like I said, I don't know that you could really do it any other way, but it is, you know, it's one of those things that puts a lot of pressure on coaches and on teams to really get off on the right foot, you know, to start the season. So, you know, but, you know, on the other hand, if you do struggle, you know, obviously you're still going to have plenty of other chances later in the season, you know, to rack up wins. So it doesn't really matter when they come, but you still want to be playing your best at the end of the season so that you can succeed in the tournament if you're able to make it in there.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, my guest on this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing, their fourth location, now open in Sellersburg, Indiana. Jared, switching gears a little bit, I know you talked about this some on the latest edition of Assembly Call Radio, which can be found at assemblycall.com, but some rule changes in college basketball, longer three-point line. I know there's been some jokes thrown out about this based on how poor Indiana was from shooting the long ball last year, but how could this impact Indiana's three-point shooting ability with the roster for next season, given some of the returners and what we know about them, and of course the incoming guys? I guess you would have to point to Armon Franklin first and foremost as a new face that might be able to effectively help from the three-point line. But what do you think of the longer three-point line in general, and how do you see it from an Indiana perspective?
It's going to be really interesting. You know, my first thought, my first impression when I saw this, number one, I like it. You know, I like it for college basketball. I'm glad they did it. I think it has a chance to benefit Indiana offensively next year. You know, I know that the three-point line has just been awful for the Hoosiers the last two seasons. But, you know, as I've said many times, when you look at it last year, a big part of the reason why Indiana's overall percentage was poor was that Juwan and Romeo took so many threes, and both of those guys were under 30%. and were really inconsistent. So this year, if more of those three-point attempts are spread, you know, around with guys like Devontae Green, who's been, you know, inconsistent, but overall, and, you know, a pretty accurate shooter during his time at Indiana, Rob Phinisee, who was shooting really well before his concussion and struggled a little bit after that, and then Al Durham, who's really improved as a three-point shooter, you know, and then you mix in Armon Franklin, hopefully Jerome Hunter, and a guy in Demezi Anderson, who was, you know, known as a really good shooter, even though he struggled as a freshman. You know, if those six guys are the ones taking the majority of your threes, I don't think it's at all out of the question for Indiana to be a top 100 three-point shooting team. You know, the cutoff for that last year was 35.7%. And, you know, that seems like a massive jump given where this program has been. But when you look at those guys being the ones doing the shooting, you know, if they can handle, you know, stepping out a little bit further, then I think the three-point line can be far less of a weakness and a little bit more of a strength for this team next year. Now, of course, the guys have to make them, and if they do, and if they prove to be credible threats, then what you'll see is defenses have to extend out a little bit, not pack the paint to take away the drives and the post-ups like they did last year when so much of the offense was predicated around Juwan and Romeo. And I think that really can benefit Indiana, you know, not just by an improved three-point percentage, but if those guys can draw a little bit more attention, now it's going to open up a little bit more space for what I think is really going to be the strength of the team, which is dumping the ball down low to Deron, Trace, and Joey Brunk and getting easy baskets. Because if they have a little bit more space to operate, if the double teams have to come from a foot further out, you know, it's going to be easier for those guys to operate in there, not to mention, you know, Rob and Al, you know, might have some driving lanes where they can get in there. So, you know, if the three-point shooting improves to the level that I think it will, I think this is something that could help Indiana offensively based on the way that, you know, that they want to play and the spacing that they should have a little bit more of in the half court. It's all theoretical. It's easy to say in June. We'll have to see what actually happens with it. But, you know, that's one reason why I'm optimistic about it. And then from a defensive perspective, it'll be interesting to see how the extra length affects the pack line defense, you know, because that does mean that, you know, guys have to close out, you know, a foot plus further, you know, so, you know, how does that affect things? Is Archie going to have to tweak it all the way that he plays his defense? And probably the answer to that will be, you know, certain matchups will, you know, demand maybe a little bit less packing in because you have to, you know, respect the three-point shooting. But certainly Indiana's ability to, you know, to close out and recover is really going to have to be a lot better against teams that can take and make those deeper threes.
We're talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. He joins us Friday on the Hoosier Report radio program. You know, in the off season, you try to find things, and at IU, it's not that hard because there are so many things going on, and fans are so interested in recruiting, and basketball is just king. It's really not hard, as one may think, to fill some off season conversations about the program and what's going on really generally in the state. But you try to be positive. You try to, you know, to talk about the team for next season and who could fill what roles and, you know, build excitement, I think, is the job for all of us for the next season. But I'm going to ask a question that maybe could have some negative connotations to it, I guess. But, you know, Indiana needs to make the NCAA tournament. Everybody that follows the program, everybody in the Big Ten Conference knows that. What happens, in your opinion, Jared, if this team just has a mediocre season similar to last year or the year before and doesn't make the tournament for another straight year? What could that lead to? Could that mean Archie Miller is on the hot seat? Could that mean Archie Miller's gone? Could that mean fans going crazy? What, I guess I'm looking at a worst-case scenario here.
A massive crater opens in Brown County and swallows us all whole. That, you know, we may wish that would be the case. You know, you're right. This program needs to get back to the NCAA tournament. You know, Devontae Green and Deron Davis need to play in an NCAA tournament before they leave Indiana. They'll be the first four-year seniors not to do so since, you know, I don't know how long, you know, since the late 60s. So this program needs to get back to the tournament. There are obviously a lot of question marks that, you know, we're going to have to see how they get answered. And, you know, it's certainly no slam dunk by any means. You know, I think if they don't, I do think the context will matter some. You know, what does it look like? Are they really close? Did they show improvement? Was there another massive rash of injuries? You know, was Jerome Hunter not able to play? Like, I think the story around the season always matters, but the bottom line is going to be make the tournament or not. I don't think, you know, assuming the bottom just doesn't totally fall out, I don't think Archie's going to be in danger next season, even if Indiana doesn't make the tournament. But my goodness, will it put a lot of pressure on, you know, on year four for him. And the issue, you know, if Indiana doesn't make the tournament, that means it's probably an up-and-down season. That means that, you know, some of the toxic nature of the public discussion about the program isn't going to improve much, and that's not going to help, you know, the recruiting momentum that Archie's trying to build, which is then going to, you know, kind of compound on itself and make, you know, getting the kind of players that you need to push the thing back over the hump a little bit more difficult. So I think for all those reasons, this is a really, really important season. And if you can, you know, look, I mean, the growth hasn't come as much as we wanted, but, you know, there has been some growth the last couple of years from not making the tournament to the NIT. That next, you know, now natural progression is to make the NCAA tournament. So I think it's a fair expectation. But, yeah, you know, I don't think he's in danger of losing his job unless the bottom falls out. But it's really going to make, I think, it's going to put a whole lot of pressure on year four, and it's going to make putting the team that he wants to put together in year four more difficult.
Absolutely. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, my guest. Indiana All-Stars in action tonight. And I know IU fans, while there are some question marks about next year and about every freshman class as they enter the IU program, I know IU fans are proud and happy that once again wearing that number one jersey in Trace Jackson Davis tonight is an IU future player.
Oh, no question. I mean, I hate it when, you know, I'm looking at box scores of those games or reading articles about it, you know, and there's only, you know, maybe one guy that's going to IU or no players, you know, that are going to IU. It's so much better when you look up and down and it's guys that are signed to go to IU and then guys that Indiana's targeting, you know, for the on the junior team. So it makes that so much more fun, and that's exactly how it should be. So, you know, we all hope that that Indiana takes care of business and beats the Kentucky team, and it certainly would be nice to see, you know, Trace and Armand for how hard they've worked, you know, and what, you know, kind of their last appearance as high school players before they, you know, officially make that transition to being college players, really see them go out on top and lead the Indiana guys to victory.
Jared, a final note on those same lines, talking about Armand Franklin. Through his high school season this year, he really stepped up and improved things. We heard Archie Miller make positive comments about him when he officially signed and became part of the Hoosiers 2019 class. And he's been on campus a little bit with Trace Jackson Davis, been a lot of workouts going on since they've been there. And, of course, after the All-Star Games, they'll go back and eventually be joined by the full roster for a great part of the summer for workouts and off-season development. But he is someone that I think is a very interesting story, and if he continues to trend in the direction that he is, at least that he did over the last 12 to 18 months or so, and is able to really come into Indiana and not necessarily start, but log some what I call meaningful minutes, maybe help IU's three-point shooting troubles from last year improve a bit, he has this, the making of a great story, because here's a kid that was a Division I player, elevated his game, and with that became a high major Division I player. Even at the time he committed to Indiana, people, I think, were proud to get another in-state player, but there was concern about, hey, can this guy really, especially early on in his career, can he help IU in the Big Ten at that level of play? And by all accounts, from what he's done with his body, his game, his high school senior year, that answer would be yes. So I'm looking forward to seeing Armand Franklin, if the progress continues. Not that you should judge it by points, especially in an all-star game, although I don't think this is your typical all-star game, but it'll be interesting to see if he can carry that momentum that he's had all year long and even all week earlier this week in the exhibition game into the Friday-Saturday series with Kentucky and do some big things out on the court.
Yeah, I'm ecstatic about his future. You know, I know that, you know, he doesn't have all the stars by his name, and he's, you know, had a triple-digit ranking and all of that stuff. And I think sometimes that can happen, you know, to a player who doesn't have elite athleticism and maybe doesn't have one particular elite skill that stands out. But he's a good athlete who's good at everything on the basketball court. And those are the kind of guys, when you also combine it with, you know, being really high character and a hard-working guy, those are the kind of guys that you build sustained success around. You know, he's not going to come probably and light the world on fire next year. He's not going to, you know, be scoring points like Romeo did or doing anything like that. But he's probably going to come in and be a really solid contributor as a freshman and then just keep improving every year if his, you know, high school track record is, you know, what we end up seeing in college. So I'm ecstatic about him. I think those are the kinds of guys that, you know, that Archie is targeting. I think those are the kinds of guys that he should be targeting. And if we can keep stacking classes with guys, you know, like him and guys like, you know, Rob Finnessy and guys like Demezi Anderson, you know, who we've heard a lot of good things about from this offseason just in terms of his attitude and work ethic, I think that will get Indiana back to the consistency that we want. You know, hopefully we start to see it on the court a little bit more this year. But I feel really good about the kinds of players and people that Archie's bringing in, and I think Armand's a great example of that.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing. Again, Highway 11, there are some portions of that temporarily closed in Sellersburg, but Coffee Crossing's new Sellersburg location is open and brewing great coffee on a daily basis. Jared, thanks for the chat. We'll do it again next Friday.
Yep, sounds good. Thank you, Matt.
All right, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with us Fridays to talk IU basketball on the program. Just another plug, another reminder that I will be live tomorrow afternoon, 12:50 or so is the pregame show for Silver Creek Baseball. They take on Edgewood at Mooresville High School, about 2 hours and 15 minutes or so away from us here in southern Indiana is where we'll be headed for the game. And we'll bring you pitch-by-pitch coverage of the Silver Creek Dragons and their quest to get back to a 3A state championship game. They were runners-up a year ago, got a chance to play on Victory Field, lost to a very good Andrean team, and a win tomorrow likely means a rematch with Andrean next week as they are still alive in the northern part of the state as well. Our coverage begins at 12:50. The first pitch is scheduled for 1 o'clock. We'll have the full 3A South game for you here on the Big X Sports Radio. Of course, a lot of people make our coverage, our shows, everything possible, but some special people stepping to the plate tomorrow. Some of them for back-to-back weeks. Chick-fil-A coming soon in Jeffersonville. And owner Terry Carrico, we want to thank him. Also, the New Washington State Bank with us again for week number two. Mitch Craig Heating and Cooling is back as a special SemiState sponsor, as is a new sponsor this week, Centra Credit Union. So those four people specifically making our IHSA SemiState coverage on Saturday possible from Mooresville High School. We had great, great numbers on the streaming last week for the Jeffersonville and Silver Creek game. So make sure if you're out and about in your car, not in your car, even at the game, there I see people or people tell me they are listening to our call as they sit in the bleachers. We'd love to have you join us for the broadcast tomorrow. We'll be on the air about 12:50 after some special horse racing coverage tomorrow here on the Big X Sports Radio. I'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with a final segment. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We're going to talk more about the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series tonight that begins at Bellarmine. Tickets still available. KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. Get them locked in. You can get your tickets online very easy. And head to the game tonight just across the river at Bellarmine. Should be a lot of fun. Talk with you in the next segment. We'll pause for a quick commercial break and be right back here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back. Final segment. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, fresh off a vacation, joins us today for a chat, a weekly chat here on the program. And Kyle, I know you've been out of pocket a little bit trying to get some rest and relaxation, but you're going to jump back into things hot and heavy this weekend because the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series gets underway tonight. And, of course, baseball, high school baseball, continues deep into the postseason. It's the SemiState round on Saturday afternoon at four different locations, two in southern Indiana, two in northern Indiana, and that will coming from that will be our state final matchups for next weekend. Let's start with some baseball, then work our way to basketball. Locally, Silver Creek is still alive. They will take on a very good Edgewood team on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, a game that we will broadcast right here on the Big X. But a number of good teams across the state still alive. Andrean, I think people familiar with them because of beating Silver Creek in the state championship game a year ago. They are 34-1. But I'm just curious, as you look at the semi-state matchups and the field that will compete for the right to play at Victory Field in Indianapolis in the four state championship games next weekend, maybe who stands out to you? There's a lot of talent there, both teams and some individual players that will go on to play college, and who knows, maybe even be drafted down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. And, thanks. It was a good vacation. We're out in Colorado. The second year in a row we've gone out there right around this time. And last year I missed the Friday-Saturday Indian All-Stars and didn't want to do that. But I feel like we got in about 3 in the morning last night, and I feel like I'm flying blind a little bit going to Louisville today. I got enough rest today. I think I'm going to enjoy it, and, of course, always do. But, yeah, on the baseball side, I think there's a lot of – you know, a lot. You mentioned Andrean. They're always a team that, you know, is seems like they're always playing this time of year. And again, they're 34-1 this year. And of course, that tradition there in baseball has always been good. And then we saw them in basketball this year make it to the state championship game, and finish the job there this past season in boys basketball. So. Really good program there that, you know, continues to do good things. And sometimes you see that, like one sport builds off another, you know, Silver Creek the same way. And of course, you know a lot about Edgewood, and they're going to be a tough team to beat, you know, with the pitcher that they have. I can't remember the kid's name off the top of my head now, but I know he's a really good Division I prospect and pitcher.
Veracruz or Vera Crumba or something like that. I've seen that name pop up a couple times getting ready for tomorrow's game.
Yeah, so that'll be Vera Cumba, I believe it is. But, yeah, he's going to be tough to beat. And it's interesting, too. We, you know, 4A baseball around here this year maybe hasn't been quite as dominant, I guess you would say. But, you know, we could still end up with two area teams playing each other in 4A if HSE and Avon can advance. So, you know, you just never know. You know, you get into the tournament in baseball and you see it and I see it, you know, just even with my own kids playing, you know, you get a pitcher who's on a roll and you get in these tournament games and all of a sudden you're putting some momentum together and it seems like everybody kind of rallies around a pitcher who's doing well, and then the other guys start hitting and pitching well. So, you know, you just never know. Baseball's can be odd that way sometimes, but you know, I think the teams we see here, you know, more than most years, really good records going into the semi-state round, and then, you know, we'll see how it shakes out next week at Victory Field.
Talking to Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, he's always with us on Fridays. Let's jump to basketball. Plenty to get to. All-Star Series tonight at Bellarmine. Reading a piece about the Kentucky team this morning, and we had Scott Chalk on, who's the game director and actually coached the Kentucky All-Stars a year ago. He was kind of excited about the team this year because not only do they have your traditional players, a number of college prospects that have had really good careers in the state, much like Indiana players have, they've got a lot of height. I think a 7-footer graces the roster for Kentucky this year, 6'11", 6'8", the front line for this Kentucky team.
Yeah, I was looking at that too, and you know, when you start seeing 7 foot and 6'11", you know that maybe would concern you somewhat. But I do think this Indiana team, you know, has some, you know, maybe more than some other years, does have some size to combat that a little bit. And I think in these All-Star games too, it becomes more of a guards game. It's more of a, you know, more of an up tempo. Even though these All-Star games, in my opinion, are more of real games than, you know, some All-Star games you see. But so I think if you have good guard play, you know, it's always a benefit in basketball. But especially when you're playing a little bit more up tempo than maybe normal high school game would be. So, you know, I know they're without their Mr. Basketball, Kentucky Mr. Basketball, Dante Allen. who had a knee injury, I believe, and won't be able to play. But they do have a lot of Division I players. Western Kentucky, a couple of guys from there, Xavier, I believe two from there, and Western Kentucky, I believe too. So Louisville also. So they've got some talent on this roster. And I always feel like, Matt, when we go down there to cover these games in Louisville or wherever they've been here in recent years in the Kentucky side, that the games have really been good. You know, we've seen some really, really good games on the boys' side, and the girls have more gone back and forth, I guess, than probably the boys have. But we've seen some really close games, and then finally saw the Kentucky team break through and win one and end that long streak 2 years ago. So it's been very competitive down there, and I would expect that to be the case again tonight down at Bellarmine. And I'm looking forward to seeing that game.
Kyle Medenrip of the Indianapolis Star. I guess anything in these games, and I kind of went on my annual rant about the Indiana-Kentucky series in the first segment today about why we should still support it and why it's important and that it's not your typical all-star game because defense is played, the team's practiced, there really is a end goal here, there are records kept, there's so much pride between the two states. And for a number of years, Indiana just dominated the series. Kentucky's been able to win. I'm talking about the boys' side specifically. Kentucky, the last couple of years, has been able to grab a win, even last year against a really good Indiana team headlined by Romeo Langford. So they're feeling some momentum, and Scott Chalk, the game director, he's coming into this thing fresh and has new ideas and wants to see the series last for a long time, and they know that getting some victories might be key to that. What do you look at in this series? What excites you about this series as a reporter? I know you always try to be there. You even were kind enough to schedule your vacation around it this year, which I think means it's an important thing for all the big high school events and things you cover. What stands out to you? What do you look for in this game tonight? Why is this something you always put on your calendar?
Well, I think you touched on a lot of the main points there, that it's more than just just throwing the team together and playing an all-star game. And I think that's what the Kentucky, you talked about the Kentucky director, and I get the sense that they kind of get tired of getting beat up and tired of being the punching bag for I can't even remember how many games, 17 or 18 games in a row or whatever it was. And you could kind of sense it was, we got to do something different here. And the Coaches Association down there kind of took charge of it and ran with it. And I think they've become, anything they can do to kind of make it a bigger deal there and make it more coordinated, I guess, is maybe the word. And, and I don't know that it's ever going to be, it's not going to be the 1950s or 60s anymore. But I, as an outsider coming here, 11 years ago and coming to this game for the first time and seeing the crowd, I was stunned how big it was and what a big deal it was. And, coming from a place where an all-star game is just an all-star game, that's clearly different here. And I think we've talked about this before, but I think just getting to be on the team is something that still matters a great deal. Getting to put that jersey up in the high school gym is still a huge deal. The games, I think it seems like every year there's some a writer will kind of fly in and say, this game isn't what it used to be. And, you always see that article and anymore, I kind of just am like, you kind of just expect that, someone's going to write that and say, hey, we shouldn't do this anymore. But to me, it's, why not do it? I mean, you're still drawing good crowds. It's still, being an Indiana All-Star means something to these kids. And actually, when you get into the games, and I've covered these games for a long time now, and the intensity in the games is always really high. And like I said, the games down in Kentucky have been super intense. We've seen a lot of – I remember that game in 2017, Chris Wilkes and that group, when they got beat down there, that was an intense. There was a couple technicals on both sides. I mean, it was physical. They were getting after it, and that was fun to watch. I mean, that you could tell it meant a lot to both sides. So, I think it's something that I would like to see continue. I know there's been talk about, why don't we go to play Ohio or Illinois or whatever, but I don't know. To me, that would be sort of watering down somewhat what this thing is. And if Kentucky wants to be a part of it, and it seems like they do. I think the tradition is a good one that should continue.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star, always with us. Fridays, Kyle, thanks for the chat. Look forward to seeing you this weekend at some of the All-Star festivities, and we'll catch up again next Friday on the radio.
Great deal. Looking forward to it, Matt. Thanks.
All right, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, always with us. And again, tickets for the game still available, KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. You can buy your tickets online, scan them on your phone tonight at the game, and take the family to see some great All-Star basketball, meaningful All-Star basketball tonight at Bellarmine University. Don't forget to join me tomorrow in the afternoon, 12:45, 12:50 pregame show, Silver Creek Baseball in the Class 3A Semi-State at Mooresville High School. They will take on a very good Edgewood game. I'm expecting, after talking with coaches and others involved in the game, a very low-scoring game, perhaps even a pitcher's duel-type game where one or two runs could potentially win this thing for either team. I think we're set up for a tremendous game on Saturday. I would be surprised if we don't have a really close and competitive game from both teams. Two very good teams, two 23-win teams, some really good pitchers going to get the start tomorrow. You heard Kyle mention the starter for Edgewood, Vera Crumba, Vera Cruz. I will have more for you tomorrow, but he's a sophomore prospect that is really good and has quite a repertoire of pitches. Also, Tyler Wheeler, I believe, expected to get the start for Silver Creek tomorrow as well. So looking forward to a day of baseball once again. Unfortunately, the Dragons, the only local team remaining in the baseball state tournament, they play at Mooresville, 12:50. The pregame show, 1 o'clock, the first pitch. Join us for pitch-by-pitch coverage of the Silver Creek team right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Have a great weekend. Hope you can get out to the All-Star Games, at least the one tonight nearby at Bellarmine. Join us Saturday for Silver Creek Baseball on the Big X, and I'll return Monday right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.